So good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to the next session of our Men's Purity Seminar. So this is technically part four. Come on in, guys. So if you want to write this down, this is my title, Molon Lab, or I'm not Greek, Molon Labi, or however you, just write that down. We'll come back to that. So my name is Josh Whitney. I'm one of the pastors of the Rock Church, and I was personally blessed by John's truth. I thought it was tremendous. Not just getting right into the tips and tricks, so to speak, on pornography and purity, but like, what does it mean to be a man, and what is our foundation, and drawing our circle of responsibility. So I think God has something for us. God spoke to me directly, and I believe that God is not done yet. I think that God wants to teach us some stuff this afternoon. So I'm going to pray, and we will get into it. God, we thank you for bringing us here as men. God, it encourages me that we have 100 men in our church that want to talk about being a man of purity and being godly men and honoring you and not giving in to sexual sin. Lord, we ask that you would fill me with your spirit, that you would use your word and your spirit to teach everybody here, God. Help us to be honest, help us to be frank, and help us to be men of absolute purity. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I got a lot of war themes in this talk, so all right. So this was the Persian Empire. Around 480 BC, King Xerxes was the king of the Persian Empire and extended all the way from India through the Middle East, down into Egypt, through Turkey. And in 480 BC, King Xerxes leads 2 million men, and he decides that he wants to go conquer Greece. And so they march up, and they turn, and they're starting to come down and conquer the country of Greece. But at that point, Greece was made up of a bunch of loosely connected city-states. And so this is one of my favorite historical events. This is the Battle of Thermopylae. And so there were 2 million Persians that were marching down to conquer Greece, and the island, it kind of narrowed and it pinched out, and there was a point where these 2 million men, they kind of had to, it was pinched out, and they had to go through this pass, and a few thousand Spartans and their slaves went to this pass in a desperate delaying action to stop the Persians from conquering Greece. And they were there, and these few thousand Spartan men, all of them ultimately died. But then their sacrifice inspired the Greek city-states to unite, and they defeated the Persians. It's a historical event. It actually happened. You can Google it. But there's a couple really fun, I don't know if they're true or not, but there's these quotes. There was one point where the Persians are trying to convince these few thousand Spartans to surrender to the millions of Persians who were marching in there. They said, "We have so many archers that when we shoot our arrows, we will block out the sun." And supposedly the Spartan general said, "Well, we like to fight in the shade." And then supposedly King Xerxes said to the Spartans, "Lay down your weapons and surrender. I have 2 million men in my army. You're a few thousand." And the Spartan king said, "Molon Labi, come and get them. You want our weapons? You come and get them." I love that. Molon Labi, that should be our battle cry. The Persians represent to me the countless sexual temptations and attacks that we face every day as men. We need to be warriors. You want my weapons? Come and get them. I am not going to surrender and lay down. A lot of men say they love Jesus, but few actually take the hard steps to obey him when it comes to purity. Jesus said in Luke 6, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" And there are a lot of men, a lot of Christian men, that are not battling to be sexually pure. The statistic they shared at that conference that John and I went to that was sobering was that half of men have looked at pornography in the past month. Like half of this room, statistically speaking, has looked at pornography in the last month. We are being overwhelmed. Even Christian men aren't safe. A friend was telling me, a guy I know that's trying to be a man of purity, trying to be a man of sexual purity, and he was talking to a guy who's a Christian, and then this Christian guy starts telling him how much he loves looking at women's cleavage. He's like, "No, dude, I'm trying to be pure. I don't need no other Christian man telling me about how great it is to look at cleavage." We're in a war. That's not going to hack it. So is it an exaggeration to say that we are being attacked by countless temptations? I don't think so. Think about the average guy's day. We get up, we drive to work, we're listening to music, we're listening to the radio, and odds are The song lyrics are sexual. The radio morning programs are sexual. The D-Day DJs are making all kinds of sexual innuendo. We get to work. We're working. We take a break. We bring up our computer. We're checking email or sports scores. Even if you're not looking for garbage, the ads, the pop-ups, the banners, there's stuff tempting you with sexual imagery all the time, even on good websites. Many coworkers, they're not dressing modestly. They're not dressing virtuously. And so you're trying to be a man of purity at your job site, and there's women there that are tempting you to think sexual thoughts, maybe even unintentionally. We go, gosh, your outfit is doing nothing to help me be a man of purity. So I got all kinds of stories about my own sin that I want to share with you guys this afternoon. So one of them happened to me a couple months ago. I went to the bank. I was closing an account. I was going to transfer some money. And I sat at the desk with this bank worker, and she had a blouse, and it was unbuttoned down to her bra, and there was cleavage in her bra, and it, like, caught my eye. I looked at it. She saw me look at it, and I was like, this whole thing sucks. It sucks that you wore that. It sucks that I looked, and it sucks that you saw me look. It just sucked all around, and that stuff happens to us all the time. I did not walk into that bank going, gosh, I hope I see a lady's bra. That stuff happens to us all the time. You go, I'm trying to be a man of purity. I'm trying to have pure eyes and pure thoughts, and I'm being blindsided. Going back to our average day, how many of us hang out with coworkers that want to discuss sexual content or sexual jokes or sexually explicit material they saw or whatever? Our day is over. We go home. Again, even if we're not looking for garbage, TV, phone, videos, there are constant temptations all the time. There are times that I will sit down, I have no agenda to see anything dumb, and I'll be like, let's watch a little TV and some sexual content's on a show, and I flip, and there's innuendo on that show, and I flip, and in modesty on another show, I'm like, apparently I'm not supposed to be watching TV right now because it's a war. And I know too many men that have been taken down by sexual sin. They're sexually immoral with their girlfriend, and then they're done following God. Men look at pornography, and they feel unworthy, and their walk with Jesus starts to die. Men that are unfaithful to their spouse, they used to be running with us, and now we haven't seen them in years. They're basically like a soldier that steps on a landmine and gets his leg blown off. It's like that sexual sin just took that guy out of the game. And that average day I just described, I think that represents most of our lives. We don't live in some perverted universe. It's just the world for Americans in 2016. We are bombarded with sexual imagery. It's because the world knows what John was talking about. We are visually wired. God has made us to be visually wired. Our eyes are just drawn to women. And we live in a day and age that does not support or value or even understand the Christian sexual ethic or what we're trying to do as men of purity. And so movies and songs and advertisement, all of it flies in the face of God's plan for sexuality. Our world is very deceived. Songs tell us that we're just animals. We should just behave like animals. Movies tell us we can sleep with whoever we want with no strings attached. We're consenting adults. We can do whatever we want. I've heard commercials that say life is short, have an affair, or what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Have you ever stopped to count how many sexual images or references you see in a typical day? I found one study that said the average person sees 14,000 sexual references or images in a typical day. 14,000. If you do the math on that, that works out to 38 a day. If you sleep 8 hours a day, that works out to 2.5 sexual images you see every single hour. Sexual sin is deceiving us. It is so powerful. It is Satan's number one tool to take us down. Look at these statistics on sexual sin. This is all connected. Pornography, sexual sin, immorality. 80% of college students say they've had sex before they graduate. 1 in 5 or 20% of babies are aborted each year in our country. 17% of people have been sexually abused. 1 in 4 or 25% of people have an STD. 1 in 4 married people admit to adultery. And half of people admit to regularly looking at pornography, half in the last month. This is all connected. Pornography, acting out, sexual immorality, abortions and abuse and STDs, it's all connected to sexual sin. I read an article on CNN that said there are 4 million pornographic websites. Right now, 1 in 4 searches on Google are looking for pornography. And you guys have heard this stat, but more money is spent each year on porn than pro football, pro baseball, and pro basketball combined. We're in a war, and we're being just hammered. We're getting constantly bombed. And the reason the battle is so hard, it's what John just talked about. It's because God has made us visually oriented. It's this awesome thing that's supposed to be in marriage. It's this amazing tool. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We should be like, God has made me this way. This is how it was his good plan to make me this way for my wife in marriage. God said, I'm going to make the men so they think the women are beautiful, and I'm going to make the woman beautiful. I'm going to give the man a woman in marriage, and you're going to think she's beautiful. It's all beautiful until Satan comes along and jacks it up. The Bible is very pro-husbands thinking their wife is amazing. I like this quote by William Blake, the author, the poet. He said, the naked woman's body is a portion of eternity too great for the eye of man. So like John just talked about this morning, you're supposed to see your wife and it should melt your brain. Neuroscientists, that video and John, they're talking about in our brain during sex and during orgasms, the same chemicals are released that drugs are trying to copy. One author said that heroin is basically an injected orgasm. God has made it to be pleasurable and to super glue you to your wife, but our world takes that, grabs it, twists it, and uses it with women that are not your wife. What was meant to be expressed in marriage, but our culture takes it in our movies, in our books, in our songs, in our apps, in our phones, in our coworkers, your wife's friends. And we all know, like I'm speaking to the choir right now, we all know we are in a sexually charged culture. Everything around us is undermining the Christian sexual ethic. God has made this amazing gift, and it gets twisted. And so we have 3 major opponents, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's talk about the devil briefly. J.I. Packer said this. He's a theologian. In times past, Satan used to attack God's men with a multitude of weapons, but today he only uses one because that's all he needs. The devil only needs one weapon now. It's sexual sin. And the devil knows we're in a full-scale war, and so he is going after us. So I remember the first time I saw pornography when I was a teenage boy. I was about 13 years old. We were going to church for a prayer meeting, but my dad is like me. He was an early man. So we were early, and so we stopped at the mall. And so we're wandering through this mall for a half hour before the prayer meeting starts, and some of us ended up in this bookstore. And I was in the sports section, and I clearly remember on the shelf in this mall, in the sports section, was a Playboy magazine. And I looked around, and my heart started beating faster, and I pulled that magazine out, and I started to look through it. It was intoxicating. It was a super powerful experience to see those images of those women in that magazine. There was something there too great for the eyes of man. And then somebody's like, time to go, and I put it away, and I leave. That was a marking event for me as a young man. Years of looking at sexually explicit material and masturbating followed that. In some sense, I was lucky. I read now the average boy is exposed to pornography when he is 10 or 11 years old in our country. So, like I said, in God's perfect irony, we go to a prayer meeting right after that. So I remember there was a teenage boy sitting there in this prayer meeting. People are praying. And all I can think about is those images I just saw and how dirty and ashamed I feel. I remember feeling very distant from God. I was like, I don't want to pray right now. I just sinned. The devil was hunting me in that moment. This is a tremendous verse. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. When I think to that moment, the devil knew exactly what he was doing. There's an unsuspecting teenage boy on his way to a prayer meeting. I was not looking for pornography. I stumbled into it. Our enemy plays dirty. He attacks kids. You want to get them addicted when they're young. And our other enemy is our own flesh. Like a Romans 7:22, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus is the answer, but your own flesh is taking you down. You could never see pornography, and your own flesh would still tempt you with lust and sexual sin. And then our final enemy is obviously this world we live in that's bombarding us with sexual imagery, TVs, books, your phone, Instagram, Twitter, smartphones, your computer, YouTube videos, 14,000 images per year, 38 per day, 2.5 per waking hour. J.I. Packer is right. The only weapon the devil really needs now is sexual sin. Why is porn so destructive? Like that video, it trains us to see people in terms of objects and orgasms. It normalizes what we see. It desensitizes us to all kinds of stuff, rape and child pornography and affairs. It's all just normalized and presented. It is teaching us what is normal. And I love what that lady said. It's teaching us lies. Many of us are addicted to pornography. What does it mean to be addicted? It means to be physically and mentally dependent on a particular substance and unable to stop taking it without incurring adverse effects. Many men are addicted to pornography and masturbation. You go, I'm not addicted. Try going a month or two without and see if you're addicted or not. But men, I want you to know there is no condemnation here right now. Many of us have and are struggling with pornography and masturbation. But you know, keeping it, like John said, keeping it in the dark isn't going to help any of us be men of purity. We got to talk about it. That's why we're here. And it is such an encouragement to me that there's 100 men in our church that showed up to talk about this. These verses, we got to remind ourselves of this stuff. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, none is righteous, no, not one. But Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So men, that's our truth. All of us have sinned, none of us is righteous, but all of us who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you know what grinds my gears, so to speak, about pornography? Is that it's all fake. It's fake images, it's fake videos. The images are airbrushed and photoshopped. It's like this picture right here. Look at that, they met Samuel Jackson. They took a selfie with Samuel Jackson. Lucky? No, it's fake. It's a wax statue. They're in some wax museum, which is a weird place. If you visited, I don't want to offend you. I just find that whole concept unusual. I saw a statue of Samuel Jackson. That's what pornography is, men. The photos are airshopped. They're like photoshopped and airbrushed. The videos that people watch, there's directors, there's camera crew, there's lighting, there's multiple takes. The whole thing is staged and faked. It's fake, and our brains know it. Do you know that scientists have found in our brain the chemicals released when you masturbate are not the satisfaction chemicals that are released when you have actual sex with your wife? God's like, you're going to sin, it won't satisfy you. If you masturbate, it does not release the chemicals in your brain that actual sex with your wife releases. It will not satisfy you. So we are in a war, and here's God's standard. Ephesians 5:3, speaking to Christians, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. So the Christian standard for sexual purity is not even a hint, not even a whiff. I can't smell any sexual sin on him. That's the line. We're like, gosh, I wish the line was not quite so tight. God's like, that's the line, not even a hint, not even a whiff of sexual sin. So that means pornography, strip clubs, certain movies and TV shows and apps, maybe your phone, adultery, flirting, any form of sexual expression outside of marriage, fornication, masturbation, abuse, incest, there should not be a hint of those among us as men. Jesus was very clear in Matthew 5 that our thoughts count as well. And men, there have been times in my life when there have been way more than a hint of sexual sin in my life. So that's God's standard, not a hint of sexual sin. And the world, our flesh, and the devil are attacking that standard. And those statistics I showed on sexual sin, the sad thing is Christians are pretty much right there with the world. People that say they love Jesus, that say they're Christians, on sexual sin and all those different stats, we tend to just kind of float right by the world. We have lost the war already. How many Christian men does this verse describe? They are well-fed, lusty stallions, each neighing for another man's wife. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord. So that woman jogging down the road who's not your wife, that woman you're watching on your computer, that woman that you are getting some sort of satisfaction from by physically touching her, if we're honest, guys, that's a lot of us. We are neighing after another man's wife. And I'm making a huge assumption right now. I call it the big E on the eye chart. I'm assuming that we, by and large, are men that are battling to be pure with our thoughts and not necessarily our actions. But I remember years ago, I was with a group of men and we had an accountability group. And we would talk week to week about when was the last time you looked at porn or masturbated. We were holding each other accountable. And then lo and behold, one of the guys, a couple months later, his girlfriend gets pregnant. Dude, don't tell me you didn't look at porn this last week if you're sleeping with your girlfriend. It's kind of the big E on the eye chart. This is the verse, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. Run away. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You know, if you have bad vision and you go get laser-corrected surgery, I've been told it's a painful thing. It's a costly thing. Likewise, becoming a man of sexual purity, it's a painful, costly thing. It is easy to talk about it, but it's hard to actually do something to grow in purity. And so I think the eye chart is an appropriate way to think about this subject because we're all over the board right now. So the guy who hears a talk on sexual purity, but he's being sexually immoral with his girlfriend, be it sexual touching or intercourse or undressing, that's missing the big E on the eye chart. So we could be talking about thought life, but your big E on the eye chart is quit sinning right now physically. If she is not your wife, you have no rights to any of the goods, men. So maybe the top row is don't sin sexually. Maybe the next row down is quit hiring prostitutes and going to strip clubs. Maybe the next line down is quit looking at pornography. Maybe the next line down is quit lusting after all the women at your job. Jesus said there should not be a hint of sexual immorality. So if Jesus wants us 100% pure, the guy that's 90% pure needs to move to 99 to 99.9. Holiness is not some mystical thing. I want to be holy. It's like a series of right choices. That's how you become holy. Let's be holy with our eyes, our thoughts, our hands, and our genitals. So I remember the first time I noticed women in a physical or sexual way, I was about 13 years old. And I got married when I was 23, so I had 10 years as a single guy. The first 5 years, I was basically a lust monkey. I did nothing to rein in my thought life. I lusted after every woman I saw. I tried to find all the sexually explicit material I could find. This was pre-cell phone and pre-internet, so I was blessed in one respect. But for 5 years, I was like, everything I can find that I can look at, that I can masturbate to, that was my mindset from about 13 to 18. And then I went off to college. And the pastors were teaching on sexual purity. I had some friends that we started to talk about it. And then from like 18 to 23, God started to teach me lessons of sexual purity. And then about that time, I started a relationship with my wife. We dated for a year and we got married, and we've been married 16 years now. So from 13 to 18, I was a lust monkey. From 18 to 23, I was striving to be a man of purity. And now from 23 to 39, I've been striving to be a man of purity as a husband. And by God's grace, I've not looked at pornography or masturbated for 17 years now. And that's just a glory to God thing. And now God has added all of these kids to my life. And so it's added this whole different dynamic of 5 kids, 4 boys. My oldest boy is about to turn 13. What does it mean for me to be a dad, to raise sons in this world with sexual purity? I know you single men, you might be thinking, it is easier when you're married. Don't talk to me about controlling your thought life. You have a wife, you get to have sex. And in one sense, you're right, a wife can be an amazing blessing to help you with purity, but I'm an engineer by trade, and so I think about it in terms of numbers. So there are 7.5 billion people on this planet. If you are a single man, 100% of those people are off limits to you sexually. If God blesses you with a wife, men, Now, 99.999999867% of the world's population is off limits to you sexually. So it is easier. I liked how one author put it. He said, I am not heterosexual. He said, I'm not oriented toward half of the world's population. He said, his wife's name was Dawn. He said, I am Dawn-sexual. There's only one person that I am oriented towards sexually. But you know, in one sense, it's even harder as a married man because the consequences go through the roof. If you sin as a single man, you may get her pregnant, you may break her heart, you may get an STD, which is all sad. We don't want to minimize that at all. But if you sin sexually as a married man, the consequences go through the roof. Marriage doesn't fix you. Your thought life as a single man is your thought life as a married man. I've seen too many men that is true of. It is a helpful exercise for me to think through the consequences of my sexual sin if I were to have an affair on my wife. I would damage the reputation of Christ. I would see Jesus someday and have to talk through why I did this thing. I could hurt and possibly lose the respect and love and maybe even my marriage to my best friend. I would lose the respect and credibility with my 5 children. I would embarrass my extended family. I would embarrass the church family. I would bring shame and hurt to all of the people that I've taught and discipled over the years. I'd make Satan happy. I might get an STD. Hopefully you'd fire me if I did that. It is staggering for me to think through the consequences of that sin and then go, why would I start down that road? It is a sobering, helpful thing for me to think on that list. Marriage does not cure you. If you look at porn now, you're going to look at porn then. If you masturbate now as a single man, you're going to masturbate then. Single men, the time to fight is now. The time to become a man of purity is now. God brought me to this place of like 4 or 5 years of getting in the trenches, learning how to be a man of sobriety, and then I had a year of purity before I married my wife. Those lessons I learned as a single man, which I want to get into here, were foundational. And I can see in some of your faces, you think, gosh, it is over. I've blown it too many times sexually. This is the truth we got to go back to, men, in Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Guys, that is the message of Christianity. You don't earn your salvation. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he freely offers it to every one of us. God gives grace and forgiveness and a fresh start to Christian men. Whatever you have done, men, God can forgive it. What were our verses in Romans? All of us have sinned. None of us is righteous, but everyone who calls on God will be saved. We're all men that need God's grace. And I've known men that have blown it big time, and God helped them to repent and restore them. I even think of David from the Bible. He had an affair. He had the woman's husband murdered. He covered the whole thing up, and God exposed it. David repented, and God forgave him. Men, whatever you have done, whatever you are feeling guilty and ashamed of, Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of those sins. You know, this battle to remain sexually pure is super personal for me. Because of this guy right here. He was my pastor in college. He discipled me for 7 years. He obviously performed my wedding ceremony. He was a tremendous teacher, tremendous pastor, gifted communicator, served God for years. And I still remember in 03, when a friend called me and said he had had an affair, he had cheated on his wife, she divorced him, he lost the respect of his kids, he's not even following God now. I felt like I'd been kicked in the stomach. My wife said I was in a depression for months. And what was his first step to destroying his life? Did he think I'm above the rules? I'm bored? Complacent? Decided he wasn't in a battle? I mean, we're in a war. Our definition of sexual purity must be no sexual enjoyment from anyone or anything but your wife. So I want to talk about how we fight this war, but I also want to talk a little bit more about why. Because again, I think of Molin Laby. You want my weapons? come and get them. Because what's our alternative? Lay down and surrender and die, or fight the war? So a couple stories. These are just defining events in my life when it comes to sexual purity. Back when I was in college, a bunch of us went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We spent this summer down there. We all had day jobs. And in the evenings, we would do outreach and we'd have teachings. It was a tremendous summer. My job that summer was hauling bags of ice around and delivering it to restaurants. So I'm driving up and down Myrtle Beach, going into all these cool restaurants and golf courses, giving them bags of ice. And the first day, I'm shadowing this driver and I'm riding with them. And we pull onto this road that goes right by the beach. And there's women in bikinis all over this road. And he's a Christian guy. And he says, just spontaneously, Lord, help us to be men of purity. Help us not to look at any of these women lustfully. And if they don't know, you save them. Amen. I was like, all right. Game face. Got it. So then the next day, I'm shadowing another driver. We drive down the same road. He's not a Christian. We turn on this road. He's like, 4 o'clock. I was like, what? He's like, Josh, 12, 3, 6, 9. Hot girl, 4 o'clock. His handy numbering system allowed me to avert my gaze through the remainder of that So that summer, I'm learning how to be a man of purity and take my thoughts captive and bounce my eyes. And so I leave that beach and I move into this place. This is Edwards Hall in Fort Collins, Colorado. And my dorm room is literally like one of these windows right there. And so there was about 10 of us that were moving into this dorm to do outreach and tell people about Jesus. But I'm an RA, so I move into that dorm 2 weeks early for training and all kinds of stuff. And I move into my room, and I'm opening the closets and the dressers, and I pull open the desk drawer, and there's a Playboy magazine sitting in my desk drawer. So I'm a Christian guy in my 20s, moving into this dorm, trying to reach people for Christ. There's a Playboy magazine right there. It's like somebody was sitting outside my window with a gun and just shot me right in the head. And I would love to tell you that I, like, tore my clothes and cried out, like, this wicked, perverse world. I didn't. I looked at it. I masturbated. It's like, great. I started this school year off fantastic. I would guess if I walked through every room in that dorm and opened up every desk drawer, I would guess I was probably the only one that had a Playboy magazine sitting in their desk drawer. When I want to get fired up, I think back to that moment. The devil was like a sniper. He's like, this guy loves Jesus. This guy wants to do something for Jesus. Let's see how he deals with this. Our verse again. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There are times my kids and I were watching a football game and they cut to the cheerleaders. And I'm like, you tricky bastard. I'm just watching football and now you're tempting me to lust after these cheerleaders. The devil is looking for someone to devour, men. And we think, well, wouldn't it be great if all the women dressed modestly and there were no sexual temptations? Wouldn't it be nice to have a world with no sexual temptations? But that is not our reality. And so I've always appreciated this verse in Song of Solomon 8:9, speaking of a woman. If she is a wall, we will build towers of silver on her. Like if she is modest and virtuous and godly, we're just going to add to her defenses. But if she is a door, we will enclose her with panels of cedar. So even if she is not modest, she is not safe, she is not self-controlled, we're going to add defenses that she doesn't have. That's what John was talking about. Like, if we men, are we guys that are trying to exploit and use women, or are we men that are here to protect them? As I think about this subject, I think about it in terms of cars. Let's go back one. So lusting is like coveting this car. It's like, oh, that's a nice car. I want that car. That's what lusting is. Having an affair, being sexually immoral, it's actually driving the car, okay? So lust is like, I like that car. That's a nice car. Check out that car. If you're sexually immoral, you have an affair, you're getting in the car and you're driving the car. So guys are like, what's the big deal, man? I'm just looking at the car. Well, here's the big deal. It causes dissatisfaction with your wife. You're not going to be as attracted to your wife. It hurts your closeness with God. You keep coveting your neighbor's wife. You're not going to want to pray to God. I read one study that said 60% of erectile dysfunction problems are associated with pornography. So, man, looking at porn causes you to be dissatisfied with your wife, stop praying, and have erectile problems or impotence. So what's the big deal with looking at your neighbor's car? Well, you're not going to like your car anymore. You're going to stop praying. and you're not going to be able to drive your car anymore. It's a metaphor, people. And eventually, if you look at enough, it's going to normalize in your head, and you're going to go, what's the big deal? It's Grand Theft Auto. I'm taking the car. In a perfect world, like John was talking about, men and women would only express their sexuality in marriage, but we can't pine for a perfect world. This is our world. This is our body. The devil's attacking us. We need to win now. And so here's the verse that Bill shared a couple weeks ago. In God's will, it is God's will that you should avoid sexual immorality. If you use your peers, you go, I'm better than them. They're all talking about sexual content all day. That's not the standard. It's God's will that you avoid sexual immorality. There should not even be a hint of sexual immorality. One author said this, we have countless churches filled with countless men weighed down by sexual sin, weakened by low-grade sexual fevers. Men happy enough to go to church and learn about Jesus, but too weak to obey him. So for me, guys, I've just had this sense over the years of getting more and more tired of it. I decided years ago, I'm going to fight. It's like that Battle of Thermopylae. There's 2 million Persians marching at us. We can lay down our weapons or we can say, Molenlabe, come and get them. You want my weapons? You come and get them. So that is why we fight, because it is God's will that we remain sexually pure. So how do we fight? For my remaining time, I want to briefly hit some very practical steps that God used in my life as an 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old man, a single man trying to be a man of purity. So if you're taking notes, how do we fight? First, join the right army. You got to follow the right general. You got to be with Jesus. You cannot fight this alone. You have to be a Christian. You have to be a born-again Christian and have Jesus Christ. On sheer willpower and self-discipline, you might be able to bear down and ride it out for a little while. But eventually, you're going to stumble. You need Jesus' help. So 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. You need his power. You need to become a Christian. You need to get the Holy Spirit. You need to pray. Men, every morning I pray, God, help me to honor you with my eyes and my thoughts today. Like, do you daily pray and ask God to help you be a man of purity? If you're not a Christian, you got to become a Christian. You got to join Jesus' army. Imagine a soldier going off to war against ISIS without even an army. I just bought a plane ticket and I'm here. Where's ISIS? He's a goner. You have to go with some soldiers. How else do we fight? Got to get a weapon. Got to start memorizing Bible verses related to sexual purity. I have, when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, and God was starting to get a hold of my heart on this stuff, when I would read a verse in the Bible, I would copy it over to my Josh's purity verse list. So I have pages and pages of verses on purity, sexual sin, adultery, immorality, temptation. Just stuck them all on this list. I memorized them. I thought about giving you guys my list, but I decided that would shortchange that process in your life. Because if you guys actually study the Word of God with a mindset for this topic, it will strengthen you. They're like my sword and shield verses. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God, the Bible, Scripture, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You are a goner if you don't have a weapon. Put the verses on your computer, on your phone, on your TV, on your radio. Memorize them, read them, obey them. You know, most Christian men are looking at their phones way more than they're reading their Bible. They're watching more YouTube than they look at Scripture. They spend more time watching TV than they look at words, the Word of God. No wonder we're getting blown out of the water. You know, another incident in college. I remember that Playboy incident where I pulled open the desk drawer. So I'm an RA, I'm in the dorms, and when we were the RA, we would get the mail, and we'd sort the mail, and we put it in everybody's mailbox, and residents that had moved on, their magazines still came, and we couldn't forward magazines, and so we'd throw all these magazines into this bin. I remember one night, I'm sitting there at the desk, I'm an RA, nobody's at the desk, the bin's right there with all kinds of sports magazines, all kinds of stuff, but there were Playboys and Penthouse in there, and again, this is all pre-cell phone, so it's just, that's where, right there. There's the pornography. I remember being so tempted to grab some of those, stick them in my backpack, and haul them back up to my room. My heart's beating faster. I want to grab them. I want to look. But then I remembered this verse that I was memorizing. This has been just a life verse for me. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So in that moment, I chose to believe this verse. And I actually dumped out the bin, sorted through the magazines, threw them all in the bin except for the Playboys and Penthouse, threw them in a garbage bag, took them outside, pitched them in the dumpster behind the dorm, moved some trash, came back inside. I was like, all right, I could resist that temptation. Imagine a soldier in a war that never actually got a gun and never actually practiced shooting. I wondered what that was for. He's a goner. Guys, you need the word of God in your life. How else do we fight? Number three, you got to get some soldiers to fight with you. Now, you got to follow the right Jesus general, but you need godly brothers. The only way you survive is if you band together with men and by God's Spirit, with his word, you fight this. You guys remember the old classic movie Gladiator? Remember Maximus said, whatever comes out of those gates, we got a better chance of survival if we work together. Do you understand? If we stay together, we survive. So when I was learning how to be a man of sexual purity and not look at garbage and not masturbate, I started talking to a few trusted Christian brothers, men that I could be honest with about what was going on in my life, men that would ask me the awkward questions. Josh, so when was the last time you looked at pornography and masturbated? Josh, have you been taking your thoughts captive? Have you been sexually pure? And then when I started to date Krista, they were like, so, you being pure with her? Have you touched anything you shouldn't touch? It's like, that's an awkward question, but I appreciate you asking me that. When I think of accountability, I think of my brother, Mike. He's a pastor in Nebraska, and for 20 years now, he and I have had weekly phone accountability. We talk on the phone about life and marriage and work and kids, sports, video games, church, everything. But we also talk about sexual purity. There's no limit. There's nothing is off limits. I can ask him anything. He can ask me anything. Guys, we need to have brothers in our life that we talk to that know us. And here's your motto. I got to be completely honest. I love this verse in James. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So men, if this is a secret in your life and you've never talked to anybody about it, I would challenge you, whatever God is bringing to mind, talk to somebody today. Be a guy, you go, I see you have a secret. You can tell me, man. I'm going to listen. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to point you to Jesus, and I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. Again, imagine our soldier. He's in the right army, but now he's going in to fight ISIS alone. He's in trouble. You got to go in there with other guys. Fourth way we fight, we got to strengthen our defenses. We are vulnerable to attack in two primary ways, through our eyes and through our thoughts, what we see and what we think about. If you understand that you're in a war and you want to win, you start thinking about your defenses. Where am I attacked with what I see and what I'm thinking about? Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil a foothold. Like the devil's walking around your house. He's shaking doors, checking locks, opening windows. Is that locked? He's looking for a vulnerability to get into your house. So when and where am I attacked with what I see and what I think about? Well, I know, Josh, it's when I'm driving here. Or when I'm working out there, when I'm taking a shower here, when my wife is gone there, when my day has been super stressful and long, or when my phone is here, when my laptop is there, when my roommate is gone, or when this show comes on, where are you attacked? But then you don't just go, I know, you got to strengthen your defenses. I love this quote by John Owen, loved it for years. He says, be killing sin or it will be killing you. Where are you attacked? With your eyes, where are you vulnerable? All inputs. You know what? I cannot go to that radio station anymore because of what they discuss. I cannot listen to that music because of the content. Where? What movies? What apps? What? Where are your vulnerabilities, men, with what you see? You go, I cannot watch this movie. As sex scenes, as innuendo, don't rent it. Don't watch it. Fast forward. I remember years ago in college, we were watching a movie. This is all pre-internet again, and we're watching this movie. There's a bunch of Christians, a bunch of non-Christians in the room, and a sex scene comes on in the movie. I was like, oh my goodness, awkward. Doubly awkward, because there's Christians and non-Christians in the room. I was like, I don't know how to handle this well, but we're not watching this crap. So I fast-forwarded through the movie. It's easier now because you can get on websites like Plugged In or Kids in Mind. You can know exactly what is in a movie. You can go, yep, don't need to see that crap. That's the line, men. You are just acting in ignorance if you walk into movies or TV shows blind. You should know, I'm going to do my homework. Nothing comes across my desk without me checking it and going, yep, veto that. That is not worth my time and energy. The internet can help us, but obviously the internet brings so much sewage into our homes as well. But I know men that do not have internet because they want to be godly. Some guys don't have smartphones because they are strengthening their defenses. Other men have put all kinds of accountability and filtering software on their devices. Have you ever considered stopping certain magazine subscriptions? I love sports and sports magazines, but if you look through them, there's women in sports and swimsuits throughout them. I don't have sports magazine subscriptions in my house because I don't want to be tempted that way. I've even said to my wife, hey, I know it's just a magazine for you, but that one tempts me. I would just ask that you don't get that magazine subscription. So she canceled it for me. Some of you are like, Josh, you are going overboard. If you are serious about winning this war, you go, there's no overboard. I'm not monkeying around. I'm not playing games. So think about where you are vulnerable and kill it. If any sexually explicit material comes from a source, you go, that source is now dangerous. Do I get rid of that source? Do I filter it? Do I block it? What do I do to not let that keep hitting me day after day? My motto, guys, has to be, any of you could walk in on me at any point, day to day, hour by hour, and never be embarrassed about what I'm doing. Whoa, Josh, what's this? Oh, sorry. Be killing sin or it will be killing you. Maybe you need to get a flip phone. Get rid of your smartphone. I had a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, that was constantly looking at pornography on his smartphone. Day after day, he'd watch videos of porn and masturbate. It was rotting his soul. I was like, dude, you have to stop. You have to get a flip phone. He's like, I can't. I need it for work. That sin was ruining him. He would not let it go. He loved his sin more than he loved Jesus. That led to strip clubs, prostitutes, sexual sin, and now the brother's not following Jesus. This is a war. This is not a game, men. This is our theme verse. Psalm 101:3, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. We can train our eyes to bounce away. When you look down the blouse of a woman who is not your wife, you are stealing something that isn't yours. Whatever sexually sinful thing comes before your eyes, you have a biblical mandate to look away. At first, it feels so awkward, guys. You're like, turning my eyes. But if you continue to make those daily choices to be godly, it becomes a good habit and it becomes easier. Our integrity is developed in those tests. Oh, that woman's dressed immodestly. Do I bounce my eyes or do I stare at that thing? Choose the pain now of making that right choice or you will suffer the pain of consequences later. So men, what are the things that you see day to day and week to week that you are hiding that you don't want anybody to know about? And as my boys have been growing up, now they're almost 13 and 11, modesty and purity is becoming this active conversation with my sons. My sons are not going to watch me defile myself. And dad, you can only pass on what you're living. You will not bring it up with your son if you are blowing it as a dad. You may not be popular, but you go, sorry, boys, can't watch it. It's garbage. We're not watching that movie. A parent that would not protect his kid, it is like a dad just sending his kids into the street of Vegas. Have fun, kids. I'll see you on the other side. So this happened last spring. I took my kids to the park by our house. We're playing soccer or football. neighbor kids come out. So there's like this whole group of kids. We're playing football or soccer. And it was dinner time. Krista's like, I got to make my dinner. So I was like, I'll go back with Krista. I said, kids, come home at 5 o'clock. And so I go home, talk to Krista. The kids come back at 5. They're sitting around the table. We're eating dinner. And I can tell there's something off with my kids. I was like, what's going on? What happened? I'm like, well, Dad, as soon as you left, one of the nice boys there in the neighborhood started talking about naked lady pictures on his cell phone. My sons were prepared. They're like, wait a minute. This is that thing that Dad told us about. And so they changed the subject. But how, like the devil, a minute after I leave, the nice neighbor kid is talking to my sons about naked lady pictures on the phone. We got to train our kids. Now, we don't want to defile their conscience. We don't want to introduce sin. But we also need to equip them. So the second area we get attacked in is with our thoughts, your mind. So here's our verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Every thought, men. That sexual thought that you are thinking about a woman who is not your wife, this verse says we take that thought captive and we make it obedient to Christ. Like John was talking about, that is my sister. I pray for her. If I sense in the slightest way that my motive is sexual, I'm forfeiting my right to that thought. It starts in our mind. We've all been there before. Something garbagey comes up on your phone or on your computer or your TV, and you're like, oh, flip away. And they're like, oh, I really want to go back to that. We've all been in that moment. But in my mind, if I go, my desire is to see something sexually sinful, I have forfeited my right to go back to that thing. Some of you men have memory anchors. Maybe it was an old girlfriend or an old lover or some memory. You got to get rid of all that stuff. This shirt, that movie, this picture, whatever, reminds me of those thoughts. I'm done thinking those thoughts. I'm going to purge those memory anchors out of my life. Do you guys want to be inspired through mathematics? This I found inspiring. Do you understand what this is saying mathematically? 1.01 times 1.01 times 1.01 times 1.01, 365 times equals 37.8. So it means if you improve in something 1% every day, in a year, you will reach 37.8 units of purity, whatever that means. But let's say every day you're 0.99 times 0.99 every day for a year. At the end of the year, you'll reach 0.03. This shows mathematically the power of those small, simple decisions. You know what? I'm going to bounce my eye. I'm going to bounce my eye. I'm going to take that thought captive. I'm not going to think that sexual thought about that woman that is not my wife. And we do that day after day after day, and it shifts our brain towards godliness and holiness. But again, it shows if you feed your flesh and you make those little decisions to die day after day and do what you know God doesn't want you to do, it ends you up in a bad place. This was very motivational for me as an engineer math guy. It may not register with you. But men, day by day, you are making decisions to either starve your flesh or feed your flesh, to grow your spirit or to starve your spirit. Let's go back to this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Because you always have a choice. Whatever the situation, apps, videos, movies, coworkers, girl running down the road, somebody at the gym, in the shower, wherever, you always have a choice. You know, I don't have a choice. This verse is telling us, this scripture is telling us, God always presents a moment where you have the ability to say no to that temptation. You can walk out and be like, nope, not going to do it. I can resist. Guys, this verse is saying there is never a moment that you are tempted. You could reach a point where it's kind of beyond that moment, but there is always a moment where you can choose to give in or you can resist. Imagine a soldier who is like never thinking about his defenses. Yeah, I'm not too worried about people coming in and killing me in my sleep. That guy's a goner. That's why they have barbed wire, and you guys that have been in the military, there's soldiers guarding the perimeter. It's because you go, we are always thinking about our defense. And then the fifth way we fight, don't listen to enemy propaganda. don't listen to the devil's lies. Listen to God's truth, what John was talking about, our identity in Christ. Jesus said this about the devil in John 8:44. When he lies, the devil, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So what are some of the lies? You failed again. You will never be able to train your eyes. It's impossible. The truth is, it is not impossible. Job trained his eyes. He was just a man like us. Another lie. Why fight this war when the supposed cost is so minimal? The truth is, you never see the cost to your sins until it devours you. Men, there is a cumulative effect. God is not mocked. You live this double life, and someday it will eventually get exposed. One lie that some of you are believing right now is related to the flavor of pornography you look at. You go, Josh, you keep talking about naked lady porn. I got a worse porn problem. There is no normal porn. Newsflash. All porn is sinful. Don't let the devil get in your mind and go, yeah, nobody in this room is struggling with that kind of porn. I had a friend that once said, hey, Josh, I'm struggling with this kind of pornography. And he confessed this very secret, unique porn problem to me. God helped him get victory and self-control, and he's been faithfully married for about a decade now. Don't let the devil beat you up, men. I'm the only guy that struggles this bad. I'm the only guy that looks at that. I'm the only guy that whatever. Imagine a soldier. Remember during World War II, what was it, Radio Tokyo, or what was her name, Tokyo Rose? The soldiers, they had like the Japanese propaganda. The Allies are getting crushed. They're getting beat back. We're about to go into California. Like the enemy propaganda machine. Imagine a soldier listening to the Japanese, the Rose thing going, gosh, we're getting hammered. We're going to die. They're going to kill my family. That soldier's a goner. Don't listen to the enemy lies. Listen to God's truth. That's why you need the sword. Another lie. Some of you are feeling so defeated right now. That is a lie Satan whispers in your ears. You will never beat this. You're the worst. Guys, this is the truth you put in there. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. God loves the sinner. He hates our sin. God will always be kind to us. He'll be ruthless with our sin. And God promises he will help us get up one more time, then the devil knocks us down. Guys, it took me years to get addicted to this pattern of lust and frequent daily pornography and masturbation. It took years to learn self-control and sobriety. But guys, God can help us be men of purity. Guys, we have to realize we're in a war. You got to decide to fight. Because you guys know that nothing will work until you actually decide you want to fight this war. So I'm going to read one verse to close. This is a cool picture. This is not David's Mighty Men. This is the Alamo. I couldn't find a better picture. 2 Samuel 23:9. Next to him was Eleazar, one of the three mighty men. He was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistine till his hand grew tired and froze to his sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. We need to be Eleazars, men who stand their ground, who go, I want to win this war. Jesus, please help me today. I mean, what's our alternative? Give up and quit and die spiritually? No, I want to win right now when the battle is the hottest. I will pray. God, I thank you that there are 100 men in this church that want to be men of purity. And God, I thank you that these men are spending a Saturday learning your truth and your verses related to this challenging, sometimes awkward subject. I pray for our church, Lord, that we would be a church with men of absolute purity, Lord, that we'd be men that understand we're not called to be guys, we're called to be men, like John talked about. We are called to step into this masculine identity that we are responsible for. We are protectors, Lord. Help us to be men that don't just hear a teaching and then go on with our life, but the things that you have convicted us of, that you have brought to mind, we are men of action. We shore up our defenses. We join your army. We get the word. We get brothers in our life. We don't listen to enemy lies. We listen to your truth. I just ask, God, you would do a mighty work in our church in 2017 because we are full of men that are sexually pure. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.